But I think we left off with verse number 8, and we talked about how there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. But stopping right there, y'all know that the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." So the Lord Jesus Christ is not a normal man, is what you're reading, because even as Scripture teaches you, just like everybody else knows, no one can just have control over when they die. But the Bible says he gave up the ghost. Okay? So it says to retain the spirit, it says, "Neither hath he power in the day of death." So, you know, here's the Lord Jesus Christ having complete control over every single thing. He's not worried. He's not concerned. He's not afraid. The whole time he takes the beating, he stands up there before Pilate, and he's asking Pilate questions about his life. See, this is showing you, here's a man under the sun looking at things as far as a man looking at things from under the sun. Regular men and man born of woman is full of troubles. The sparks fly upward, and that's what man is born to. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ facing what normal people, when they face it, especially in this time, if you don't have the Lord with you, you're scared to death. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ facing death, and he's in control the whole time. He's up there on the cross, suffering on the cross like no man has ever suffered before, saying, "John," he said, "behold thy mother," and he's telling John, "Take care of his mother," and all these things. He's in complete control the whole time. You know what that tells you? Whenever you are saved, you have got a Savior that you can trust in all aspects. No matter what you're going through, you have to be reminded that, yes, as far as we are concerned, we don't have power in the day of death or nothing like that. But if you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, just like the Apostle Paul, he said, "Be absent with the body, present with the Lord, nothing to worry about, nothing to be concerned about." And that shows you why Christians, when they go through things in the hospital and stuff like that, they got a complete different outlook on things, witnessing the people and stuff like it, using it as an opportunity to witness to the nurses and stuff like that. But you have to look at things not under the sun to understand that. And when I get to chapter 9, verse 1, later we're going to look at some of these things under the sun. But Carl and I were looking, we were talking about looking at things under the sun, and I pulled up WTVA news, and I said, you know, we're learning as we're reading Ecclesiastes how to look at things. Contrast a wise man looking at things under the sun with how you're supposed to look at things with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You have the Bible, and you know how to look at life through the lens of the Bible, the Holy Spirit guiding you through the Bible. Because if not, all right, this is just looking at things under the sun. I'm just giving you some news articles. This is why people are depressed. I turn on WTVA news, and I had no idea it was on here. First thing, it says human fetus. Says fetus, see? Didn't call it baby. Now, human fetus found in Boonville sewer system. That's life under the sun, see? The next thing, more patchy rain and scattered thunderstorms in store for our Thursday. That's like today, rain was in forecast today, and it didn't rain plump to this afternoon. It just rained a little bit. I'm just showing you. Family seeking location of missing woman, Catherine Kennedy in Tupelo. Stabbing suspect arrested in Tupelo. That's just today's stuff. And what I'm telling y'all, people are getting up in the morning time, and they're starting their day looking at stuff like that underneath the sun, and they're thinking, I wonder why I'm depressed. I wonder why I'm thinking all these negative thoughts. I wonder why I can't just get ahead in my thought life. I wonder why I'm losing the spiritual battle. It's because they didn't start their day like they're supposed to. Here's Solomon. He's got all this wisdom, all these palaces and gardens, and we talked about all these things. None of it's satisfying. Why? He's looking at life underneath the sun. He's going over here, and well, no man has power over the spirit, you know, and there's no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Well, that's true. Okay, there's some true statements in there. But you know what? I've learned this right here. If you've got, once you get to where we are in the Bible, we've got more revelation than he did. And guess what I know? Yes, there is a discharge in that. Well, why? I'm going to die, but guess what? To be absent from the body, we've already said that's be present with the Lord. My body's going to die off, but I will never die. Why? Because I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, wickedness, you know, he says wickedness deliver those that give them to it. You know what? I've got the power of the Holy Spirit, and I've got the Word of God to live my life by, and I don't have to be yielded to wickedness. I can yield my members to the Holy Spirit of God and not follow along with this worldly mindset. See, the trouble is the world, Solomon's showing you a mentality of our world under the sun, looking at things, and they've got wisdom, they got smarts, and they got knowledge, and they got all this stuff coming in, and what's to show for it? And you know what the sad thing is the Bible is sitting around on shelves, on people's coffee tables, everything with all the answers that man seeks for, and they don't look at it. And they say, well, you know, I've heard those stories. No, you hadn't. No, you think, well, just Noah's Ark. You know, there's a whole lot more in that Bible. There's a whole lot more in the story of Noah's Ark than you ever thought there was. You'll never plumb the depths of the Bible.
That's right, brother.
All right, you get over here and he says, all this have I seen. See, he's seen. Yes, you've seen a lot of stuff. But I tell you what, I've seen a lot of stuff that's just not so. Well, a lot of times you look at things from the wrong perspective too. He says, and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. Yeah, okay. Sometimes that is so. But what's your focus, though? Are you focusing on the wrong thing when you're looking at things under the sun? You know, I'm learning this. A lot of times you'll see something happen. And that's like, for instance, I know some people now say, well, so-and-so whipped his son a little while back. And his boy just said this one thing, and that boy got a whipping. He didn't know what that boy had been doing for a month.
Right.
He didn't see the whole thing. He just saw one little part and judged the guy by what he saw there. You know what happens? Oftentimes in life, you get to looking at things under the sun and one little thing will happen and you judge it right there and you didn't know what's been going on in the background.
Amen.
Y'all, there are things that go on in your life and in the lives of others. And if you judge it by that one thing right there without background, you'll mess your whole perspective up. You need to have context of what's going on and what people do and things like that. That's like if you don't know somebody and all of a sudden they just snap and have a bad day and get... You don't know what led up to that. That's why you have to be careful. I've seen these things. He said, and so I saw the wicked buried who had came and gone from the place of the holy. So in the Old Testament, here they are. Let's say they're going up to the holy place. They're going up to worship. And it says, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Well, big deal. Just be honest with you. A lot of things bother you. Okay, well, I've seen wicked people. They're going up to the place of the holy up here, and they come and gone. They're doing what they want to, and they're forgotten. Nobody even says anything about how bad they were. Well, who cares? That's why you got mental issues. Why? Because a lot of times people come to church. We'll just use it for this application here. People come to church and some people get worked up and say, well, they're just pretending. What business is of yours? If somebody's at least trying, you never know. Y'all, sometimes some people got so much going on in their mind and in their life, they're just trying somewhere to get some kind of glimmer of hope somewhere. And people say, well, they're wicked. I can't believe they just come back and forth. Hope, pray for them and hope that they'll come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a lot of things that bother you, just like this bothering him, that should not bother you anyway. You know, just looking around at this world, at the things that bother people, most of the stuff that bothers them should not bother. They should get all worked up about stuff that's none of your business. You know, and you get this man, he's got all this wisdom, and he's all right, watch this one. Verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Now, if you will, take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, you know, there's all kind of application you can get out of this. For one thing, you know, what people say, well, his heart's set, you know, they're not going to change their minds, heart's set. What's your heart set on? You know what your heart should be set on? Doing right and thinking correctly. Well, that's the trouble. A lot of people, that their heart's not set. They say, okay, well, I know for a fact, he says sentence is not executed speedily. So people are just doing evil because nothing happened. Y'all, we're seeing that in our society now. People do all this evil stuff and you know what? No consequences. But you got to remember something. The consequences are not immediate, but they will be there either in this world or in the next. Just because someone isn't getting caught right now does not mean they're not going to be caught later. And see, he's bothered by this. Now, you know what we have, what you have today? You look at your Bible over here and he tells you, you got mail directly for you. And so he's looking. Everything's under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. Earthly perspective. Under the sun is an earthly perspective. You know what he tells you? Colossians chapter 3, verse number 2 says, set your affection. Set. See? Fully setting them to do evil. Set your affection. You can't decide and you can't help what other people have their affection set on. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. He says, under the sun, on the earth. And look at all this stuff going. And look, these people, you know, they're doing all this stuff and nothing's happening to them. And they're doing this and they're wicked. Nobody's, you know, they're not even getting in trouble for it. They just walk into stores and they steal all this stuff and an owner's going out of business. And what's ever going to happen to them people? I'll tell you what, something will happen to them. But that's up to God and not us. Y'all, we're not Superman. We can't go try to solve all the world's problems. You know what our job, according to the Bible, is we're supposed to pray and do what people do that we want to see all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Why? Because if people would get saved, and then after they get saved, come to the knowledge of the truth would fix their mind, and if their mind is fixed, they would want to serve God and not sin. They would set their heart on heavenly things and not earthly things, and they wouldn't want to steal from their neighbor. But see, the whole trouble is people are trying to fix up society. Well, if we fixed up this, and we fixed up this other thing, and we've done it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can fix this thing. Our business is, look, the ship is sinking. Oh, yeah. You know, people talk about America and we got to fix the world. One of these days the world's going to... No, sir. It's like the Titanic is sinking. And look, you know what? I've heard men say this. I've got some books from, I think this one's from 1894. And he was talking about people trying to fix up the world and stuff like that. And then I got another book. It was right after the sinking of the Titanic. And he used that Titanic. He said, men trying to fix up this world without Jesus Christ is like trying to rearrange the chairs on the deck of that Titanic. If you're trying to fix up things without doing it according to the Word of God, all you're doing is rearranging chairs on a sinking ship. The world is sinking down. It's evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. So you know what our business is to do? Keep your mind straight so you can think right to help the people who do want a life raft. There's some people, look, the ship's sinking. You can tell them the ship is sinking. Throw them a life raft and they're like, no, it's not. Do you not see the water coming in the windows? Do you not see the thing sinking down? And you know what's happening? It's sinking all around us and you're throwing out life rafts and say, this is the only way out. Jesus Christ is the only way out, and the only way out mentally speaking to fix your mind is Jesus Christ. And go by that word. And then even when you go by the word, you got to go by it rightly divided. Why is this? Because otherwise people will take a verse and mess your mind up with the wrong thing. That's one reason why we go by the we go through the books verse by verse. Why? Because the devil's quoting Bible through men and women today, and he's using them to teach wrong Bible doctrine with Bible verses.
That's right.
I spoke to a guy just, my days are running together. Maybe it was Monday. And y'all, he's in such bondage. I don't know that he'll he's got to leave his tradition so bad. He's got people showing him Bible verses where he's got to do things he really can't do. You know, that's like, for instance, your prayer promises. In the tribulation, they've got different prayer promises, just like they did in the Old Testament. They got different prayer promises than what you do. David was praying imprecatory prayers in the Psalms, saying, God, kill them. God, have revenge on my enemies and stuff like that. You don't pray that stuff. And some of these people are saying, well, I'll tell you what they say and so-and-so. You better get down there and pray and God will get them. That's not what you're to pray. You're saying, God, bless them. God, help them. God, help them be saved. You're not to get up there and pray that God will damage people. You know what that'll do? That'll put a bitterness on your heart. You know what people do? They'll take a Bible verse and they'll say, well, David prayed so-and-so over there. That was David in his time and he had that promise and he was able to do that. You're not to do that. You're supposed to pray for people. Romans 12 teaches you that. Why? If you don't get that thing right, it's going to mess your mind up and you're going to say, well, so-and-so's living like the devil and they're being blessed and here I am over here. I'm over here trying to serve God and, you know, my family members are going crazy and half the time my mind, I'm stripping gears in my mind. I'm getting frustrated and all this stuff and I'm trying to serve the Lord. Well, you know what's going on? You'll get frustrated if you don't realize that you're against the devil. So guess what? You're not in collusion with him. You're going in collision with him. And look, a lot of people forget that thing. Do you think that the world, the flesh, and the devil is going to give you an easy time when you're up there trying to serve God and you're reading your Bible and you're trying to pray and you're trying to learn? You're more of a threat than somebody that's just, hey, I'm saved, don't even worry about it. And they're not even trying to learn, they're not trying to pray, and they're not trying to help other people, not trying to make a difference in this world. The devil's not worried about them. He wants to get in your head, wants to get your mind messed up. Why? Because, look, the Bible says you have the spirit of a power and love and of a sound mind. If he can mess up your mind, the Bible says casting down all the high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God. Well, you know what happens if he can get you messed up in your mind? He can get a stronghold. The Bible says that in 2 Corinthians 10, you're supposed to fight against those strongholds. And you know what happens if he'll get a stronghold in your mind? It'd be something mentally you can't get past. You've got to cast that down. 2 Corinthians 10, starting around verse 5. That's why he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Here, Solomon don't have access to what you have access to. So you got to understand as you're reading here. Yeah, he had earthly wisdom. But we've got something better. We can set our affections on things above. And they got their hearts set in them to do evil. I have one reference here. I'm going to try to get on down a little bit further. Let me see if this is the one before y'all turn there. Let's see. That's not going to be it. I have one verse I wanted to read. This is it. No, that's not going to be it. I'll go over them later. Let's read on down to verse 12. It says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Okay? Now, he says, you know, Old Testament-wise, and I'll give you some verses on prolonged here in a little bit. Old Testament-wise, he said, look, if you fear God, I know it's going to be well with you. And the day is going to be prolonged. Not so with you. Why? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 11, let me read a few verses to you. See, there's a difference there. You got to understand something. The promises that they had are not the same as what you have. That's why you have to be careful when you're reading the Bible. Where are you at and who's it talking to? Here's the Apostle Paul. He's serving God, going everywhere he's going. He's trying to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to serve him with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, so to speak. And guess what he says over 2 Corinthians 11? He says, of the Jews, five times. Five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's bad enough. They give him 39 stripes. Guess how many books in the Old Testament? 39. You know what that's a picture of? A man taking a beating. Now, the Old Testament law, five is number for death. Here's the Old Testament there, that law. And you know what? He's trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, taking all these stripes. It says, Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. See, he said, man, in the Old Testament, he said, man, you fear God. He said, I know your day is going to be prolonged. You imagine what the Apostle Paul went through?
That's right.
He says, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often. He says, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen. He says, in perils, all this is plural, by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Does that sound like, you see what you're, Paul says, hey, he's a pattern. Guess what? He's a pattern to suffering. If you try to go by the Bible, I'm just trying to tell you here, get good news, it's going to get worse. But it's good on the inside while you had the fellowship of his sufferings. You get to be a part of something here that you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, the Word of God to guide you, and you're going through these things going, Lord, I'm getting fellowship with you through this like I never had before. Lord, thank you. Lord, getting to pray for other people and watching God work in and through their life and watching them get closer to God through things that only God can give them the grace to get through. And you're sitting here thinking in watchings and painfulness. That's, you know, a lot of times, as these bodies get older, you get pain in these bodies, man. He says, in watchings often. Had to be concerned about things. I mean, he was concerned. He had people looking to kill him, man. Well, you know what? With us, with watchings, a lot of times it's, what's the next news? What's the next doctor's report? What's the next? There's a constant watching, and you're thinking, if you didn't know any better, you think, well, I must be doing something wrong. No, maybe you're doing something right. So you got to take encouragement from that. A lot of times, see, we've got this mentality of the closer you get to God, everything's going to be wonderful. No, the closer you get to God, the more he can bring you through the hard times you're going through here on earth. He says, often in hunger, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Look, you can get a devotional thing from that, but that's the Old Testament promise over there, and it's going to have to do with the Jews going through the tribulation, and they're not going to want why he's going to give them bread in the wilderness. Yeah, I can get a nice little devotional message from that. Let me tell you something. I believe he was wanting right here. Sometimes you're going to be to the place in your life where you're going to want. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, who had already suffered hunger, he can go through that with you, just like he went through the pot with it, with the Apostle Paul. It says, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. He's saying, look, all this stuff going on. And not only that, but I still got all these churches I'm caring for. He's still praying for people amidst all that stuff. So you know what's happening? He's getting stronger and stronger in the Lord. Now, what you have to do is an earthly perspective will tell you, you know what, man, I tell you what, I've seen wicked people and all this stuff, and it seemed like they're prospering. But Old Testament wise, he's saying, but I tell you what, you fear God, everything's going to be wonderful. Let me tell you something. You fear God, and physically, you may suffer like you've never suffered before physically. Why? Because the devil and the world and the flesh are all working against you. Amen. And the Apostle Paul is showing you, hey, you may be super close to the Lord. But don't let anybody tell you, any preacher, anybody else, that you can't be close to the Lord and be laying in a hospital bed somewhere. Don't let anybody tell you that you may be close to the Lord and you may be to the place where you can't come to church and wish you could come to church, and somebody stand up and say, I'll tell you what, if you really love the Lord, you'd be in church every Sunday. There's a lot of people that would love to be here, can't be here.
That's right.
See, that won't work. You say, well, if you really love the Lord, you'd be reading your Bible every single day. Well, some people can't read. What are you going to do with that? So you have to be real careful about there are things in your life that's going to come your way, and the devil will try to get to your head mentally. You got to understand something. Yeah. Spirituality has to do with you being saved first and foremost, and following what revelation you do have in that Bible and the truth you have for today. Why? Because look, Solomon knew some things back then, but he didn't know what you know now. You can read your Bible now and you can get things out of here like what we're talking about under Apostle Paul that they had no idea of.
That's right. That's right.
Ain't that a blessing? Why? Because you think about what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross is more than they had. And man, I tell you something, I wouldn't trade what I've got in the Lord Jesus Christ and the spiritual blessings I have for the ability to be able to go down and whip a lion.
That's right.
Yeah. Even though in my childhood, I was always so, and I know I've told y'all that two or three times, when I was a kid, I was fascinated with that because I knew it was so. But at the same time, I wouldn't trade the fact that I know that the Lord Jesus Christ has sealed my soul.
Amen.
And I know I'm going to heaven. I wouldn't trade that for nothing. Amen. Nothing. Why? Because I tell you something, y'all that saved, y'all going to see Brother Chase and we're going to enjoy heaven
Amen.
Together.
That's right.
Glories, Amen. Glories, plural in heaven. The increase of his government shall not end. Do you imagine what that means? Look, I don't care how much Bible you understand. Your mind cannot fathom how great heaven will be. Even though we see all kind of things. And he said, look, all these things that they wish they could have saw over there in Isaiah. He said, they're revealed by the Spirit. But at the same time, I can read and I can believe the Bible. But as far as me seeing it in a sinless body with the Lord Jesus Christ there and present with y'all and looking back and knowing we will be known as we are known and looking up there and saying, sister, we've been talking about it, but look, I didn't even get close to how wonderful this is. Yeah. Try your best with the best language you can come up with, and you can't. I'm telling you, it's going to be wonderful. They didn't have what you're able to have, and just as much now as how glorious this is to see things from this side of it. When you see things from the other side over there with your sinless eyes, won't that be wonderful?
Yeah.
Here's a look at a few more things. He says over here in verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. I'll cover these two things and then we'll close for the night. But I want you to see something about this shadow and then the prolonging of days. Look at Job 14, verse 2. And as you're on the way to Job, I'm going to remind you of a verse that you're very familiar with in Proverbs 3. He says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And then, like I said, y'all still turn to Job. I'm just reminding you of something. Back in Deuteronomy 4, he tells you over there, I believe it's verse number 40, how if you'll walk in the commandments of God, you'll prolong your days on the land. And God said, look, if you'll walk according to this law, I will. And he uses the word prolong. And prolong is only in the Old Testament. That word ain't even in the New Testament. So you know what that is? They had a promise there that they would go by what God said in his commandments. They would prolong. So Solomon's looking saying, well, the wicked's not going to be prolonged on the land. Although every now and then, they slip by. And sometimes it don't work that way in the Old Testament. So he's looking and saying, hold on, I thought. And see, what's happening is he's confused because he can't see it all. Only God knows the heart. Now, why is this? You can take a guy like Ahab. Over in Kings, he's wicked, wicked, wicked. And you know, a lot of these wicked guys, they die and they die awful death and stuff like that. And Ahab, for a little while, he gets right. And he repents. And you know what happens? God gives him a little bit of, he says, see how Abraham humbleth himself? Give him a little extra time. Only God knows the heart. And see, Solomon can't see the heart. So it's messing him up. He's thinking, you know, he said, but their days are as a shadow. Okay, when you get to Job 14, you get over here to Job, like I tell you, I want to read a verse to you about this thing. Job 14, verse number 2. Yeah, because I was quoting some verses to you while you was turning there. Job 14, this is familiar right here. I quoted it earlier, but Job 14 verse 1 says, man that is born of woman is a few days, there's your shadow, and full of trouble. That's exactly right. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Why did Solomon say a shadow? See, a shadow appears longer than the real substance. See, that's like right now. I'm not very tall, but my shadow just in this light right here is way larger than I am. So it'll fool you. Like, for instance, you know, if you've ever seen somebody come up on, like at night, if you got a shed light on or something, and somebody comes up and you get to looking at their shadow, you think, Mom, who's this monster come up? And it's, you know, just a 10-year-old child. You think, wow, look. Well, that's how a lot of times when people are younger, You know what the issue is? They're living wicked and they're doing all this stuff, and Solomon's looking at them, and you know what happens? They think they've got such a long life, like their shadow. He's, man, I got plenty of time to do all this stuff, and guess what happens? You start getting a little bit older and you realize, I better start serving the Lord. Now, everybody don't realize that, but you ever thought about that? You know what? Time, I can't believe 40 years has went by this long. And I know for y'all are older than me, so y'all know. You look back and say, where did the time go? How did it do that? Okay, so you know what happens? It slips up on you. And you know what? You can change light like right quick, especially when that light's right over my head. The shadow is shorter.
That's right.
So you know what happens? All of a sudden, people look up and time's gone. It's gone. And Solomon says, hey, they live their life. Their life's just like a shadow. You know what we got to realize? Live your life in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you'll have fellowship with Him like you do. That's why it tells you in Ephesians, walk with the Lord, walk with the Lord, walk with the Lord. Why? Because that walking in the light gives you a proper perspective on your life, and you'll use it for Him and don't waste it. See, the trouble is walking in darkness, you can't see any shadow. You don't know so much because darkness hides so much stuff. Man, I remember one time, I'll tell you that I'm trying to close, but man, I love talking to y'all. I remember one time we went to a deer camp and just show you how darkness, see, that's why the Lord tells you walk in the light. All right, we went to this deer camp with no lights in there. So we were in there fumbling around looking for, I think, for shells or something. I forgot what we was trying to look for. But we didn't have any lights, and it was, you know, just fumbling around in there. Finally, look, we got to find some light. Got some light, got another light, got to looking around in there with a light shed on. That place was filthy, man. I mean, stuff all in the sink, stuff all over the counter. Looked like people just been cooking in there and throwing stuff around and food, and it was nasty. But I could have moved around in there for no telling how long and didn't realize how dirty it was because of the dark. You know why the devil wants you to walk in darkness? You can't see that shadow.
That's right.
You can't tell the length.
That's right.
Of light. But when you look at things in the light of the Bible, you realize something. He's going to tell you in the next chapter.
Yes.
Sometimes wicked people live a long time, and sometimes good people don't live very long at all. It's unpredictable. You know what? You better serve the Lord with what you do have left, because you don't know. It may be, you may have 10 years. You may not have 10 minutes.
Exactly.
And I tell you what, you'll notice this. You never waste time serving the Lord. Amen. Anytime you spend reading that Bible is worth it. Anytime you spend praying for somebody else is worth it. Anytime, that's like going back and forth to church. Stuff like all that stuff right there is part of your service to the Lord. The Lord's looking down and seeing the motive of your heart and saying, hey, they're doing that because they love me. They want to go and learn more Bible, and they want to. And you know what the Lord's doing? The Lord's looking at all those things, and those things count while doing things according to that Bible the right way. Why? If we don't do it right, you know what? A lot of people just get in here and I feel so bad for them, because that's like you got people, you know, and they say, well, they got a Bible verse. They say, well, we talk in tongues over it. Well, we go to church yet. Well, they got a Bible verse for it. But guess what? It's wrong. Well, just because you got a Bible verse for it, it's not in context. You read Acts chapter 2. They were speaking languages. They called them tongues or called languages. So you know what? If you don't study your Bible and realize that thing rightly applied, rightly divided, you know what's happened? You'll get a verse for something and go out there and do something crazy. And see, Solomon had knowledge from the Lord, but he wasn't applying his knowledge in a godly way, and he had done gotten away from the Lord. Well, with us today, you know what we got to do? Say, Lord,
that's right.
I want to learn more of your truth correct, so I can apply it correctly in my life, and then what I do for the Lord will count. So y'all, that's what we want to do. And I tell you what, you won't never waste 1 minute of your life in service for God. It's nothing's wasted. I know we didn't have as much time, but I tell you what, I thank the Lord for y'all, and I hope maybe something said that was a help to you, because what you do for the Lord counts.
That's right.